Hello, I'm Justin Wheeler, and welcome to this episode of Nonstop Nonprofit. I'm excited to sit down with Kara, the development director of One Tell at a Time, to learn more about how they've grown their monthly donor program by nearly 1,000% in the last few years. During times like now, having a predictable revenue stream could not be more important. We're going to dig in with Kara to learn how they've expanded so quickly and what they're doing today to keep their donors engaged and retained. Let's dive in.
The best thing that we can do is just raise as much money as possible and then give it to the people around the world.
We set out to raise $1,000 to help this person, but we had no idea how to fundraise.
Then you're doing it wrong.
Okay.
That is unacceptable, and that is not the way to run a board.
Who is this girl, and what's the thought process when you're like, do I include a nickel?
And it snowballs like any peer-to-peer campaign. The more people that view this content, the further and further it grows.
The community raised $55 million in 2019.
The more nonprofits can give their donor base that experience of the impact that's being made on the ground level, there's nothing else you have to give someone. This is Nonstop Nonprofit. All right. Well, Kara, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about your amazing organization and the amazing work that you guys are doing, along with how you have built up a really strong monthly donor program. So thank you. And please tell us more about yourself and the organization.
Sure. I'm Kara. I'm our development director at One Tell at a Time. We're an animal rescue in Chicago. We're One Tell at a Time dog rescue, but we also rescue cats. We have a cat and kitten program. last year we rescued about 975 dogs and cats. We've been around since 2008, and in 2008 we saved 12 dogs. So we've grown pretty quickly since then, and it's largely, well, essentially all because of the community around us and just Chicago's awesome community of rescue advocates that have joined our cause and volunteered or fostered and adopted or just followed us on social media to pitch in.
Yeah, I think that's, in fact, that's where we fundraise. I think I learned about your organization was through Facebook, because you guys have done a lot of Facebook fundraising and just a pretty big social media presence. So how did you get involved with the organization and become the director of development?
Sure. Well, this was my first fundraising gig, so to speak. I actually have a background in musical theater, and that's what brought me to Chicago. But during the summer, I would go away and perform out of state. And I was in Missouri one summer, and during the day, I would volunteer at the local Humane Society there. And I just came back to Chicago so inspired. I had no idea there were so many just amazing pets still waiting for a home and shelter. I'm still waiting for their home in a shelter. So I started researching local rescues here and found this awesome group called One Tail at a Time. I felt like such a nerd because I would go to events where they were there, just casually introduce myself, like, hey, I'm Kara. Oh, I've heard great things. Thanks for all you do. And then one day I just sent an introduction to myself to our executive director, Heather, and she wanted to chat right away. And that's really, I think, has been the foundation of One Tail, is just being so open to support from anyone eager to save lives with us.
That's great. I love the persistence of, you know, tracking down the organization and getting that meeting and then landing the job.
Not creepy at all.
that's how you get stuff done, you know. I mean, not being creepy, but just that persistence. So tell us a little bit more about your guys' fundraising strategy, like overall. Like, how do you guys raise funds? How do you support the overall mission day to day?
Yeah, we raise funds in a lot of different ways, mostly through individual donations, through our membership program, which is our monthly giving program. We also do a lot of social media fundraising, and peer-to-peer is huge for us. So we have like our annual gala at the end of the year, our annual health tooth ball, but during the year, we're launching really big social media campaigns. Our peer-to-peer campaign right now is our annual sit-in for shelter dogs. And trying to grow our sustaining donor, our recurring donor program constantly throughout the year.
So your membership program, let's talk about that. It sounds like it's something that has been well established, you know, before COVID-19 hit.
And thankfully.
And, you know, this is something that we're seeing, you know, as a pretty critical component to any organization's revenue channel is a strong membership or recurring donor or subscription program, just, you know, repeatable, predictable revenue month over month. So tell us about your guys' membership program, how it started, and what are the kind of the core elements of it today?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So our membership program was in place when I joined in 2016, and I know that our first members joined in 2012. So it was around for 4 years when I joined the One Tail family. And around that time, we had about 200 members. And our membership program was essentially the big yellow PayPal button that lived on our website. And then if you signed up for, we had one level of support. It was a $10 monthly donation, or you could give a one-time annual gift of $120. And then you got a new membership gift, a cool piece of swag each year. So we thought about it more and realized if 200 supporters are willing to make a monthly gift for a membership program that we hadn't invested a ton of time in, maybe we should spend some more time developing our monthly giving program and see where it takes us. So from 2016 to now, we went from 200 monthly donors to over 1,600 monthly donors.
Wow, that's amazing. And so do you still only allow them to give $10 a month, or have you expanded that offer?
No. No. So our starting monthly gift is $10 a month. But then they are able to give at different levels. We have them branded to our mission. So we have the Chihuahua level, the Beagle level, the Great Dane level of monthly support, where they can also make a custom gift. And those levels have been really important for us as we think about how do we move donors up the supporter pipeline, and how do we do some upgrade campaigns throughout the year.
So over the course of just a few years, essentially you guys grew this community by over 1,000%. And what was the driving factor behind that? Like, how did you go from 200 to 1,600 members in just a few years?
I think I always call it making it a thing. We made our membership program a thing. Yeah. We made it this community, this inner circle, or this like club of supporters, if you will. Where we do a quarterly newsletter now. We have an open house just for our members to come and play with puppies throughout the different levels. You know, if you're giving $50 a month, then you get to name one of our rescue dogs. Or if you're making a monthly gift of $100 a month, you get to actually go to the shelter with our executive director and save a dog's life. Wow. So just making it fun and just making it something that our members really want to be part of was huge for us, and making it easy as well. Like going from the PayPal phase to actually being able to accept Stripe and brand our donation form, we saw all of those things make a difference.
That's awesome. So I love that, like, make it a thing. I think, you know, that's gotta be like the headline for this podcast, because I mean, I 100% agree with it. I mean, I've talked with so many organizations. I've been a part of building, you know, monthly recurring donor programs as well. And you're exactly right. The more that you make it a thing, it just opens up new opportunities. And the fact that you guys what I love, and I think there's like organizations typically go two routes with making it a thing. One is they provide kind of benefits and values and perks that really aren't tied to the mission. But what you guys do, I mean, get to come in and play with the dogs, get to name dogs. It's so tied to your mission that I'm sure the big part of that growth is because it's resonated with your community and people want to be a part of the mission, and giving monthly and being able to have that sort of access is an amazing program. So great job to you and the team for thinking of that.
Thank you.
So you said something really interesting I wanted to also come back to, was you talked about like the expanding your recurring donor base, right? Because a lot of times nonprofits think about building a recurring donor program, like they need net new donors to actually grow the overall, you know, annual revenue. So talk to us about some of the strategies you guys have used to expand your recurring revenue by targeting your existing recurring donors.
Yeah, well, something that I'll throw out there to start with is that half of our recurring donors are first-time donors. That's a huge percentage. So half of our donors are folks who have made a gift to us before, but half of them, this is an awesome entry level for them to get engaged, like $10 a month, and they get some cool swag and some perks. That's getting new donors through the door as well, which is awesome because they become lifetime supporters is the goal. But as far as activating our existing supporters, we speak a lot to our volunteers, our fosters. We have a lot of folks who are interested in being on the ground with our animals, and then life happens and maybe they can't, but this is an awesome way that they can still support our organization. We also set up a welcome series. So when someone joins our email list, within 3 weeks, they're asked, would you consider making a monthly donation for dogs like Little Puff too?
That's really impressive. Going back to like that 50% stat, 50% of your donors first time are monthly. This is super important because, as you're well aware, recurring donors have a much longer lifespan. They don't churn as much as a single, you know, one-time donor. So why, I mean, what is it that you're doing, whether it's on your website or in your communications, that's causing you to convert 50% of your donors on the first donation to a monthly giver? What's the secret sauce that you can share with us on that point?
I think talking about it a lot. I think sometimes we could get in the habit of, well, if it's on our website and we mentioned it this week, then people know about it. But having it in your tagline, in your email signature, or including it in every single newsletter that you send out, making it really easy to see on your website. We include it in our volunteer and foster emails as well. Just making sure that you're reaching everyone where they are has been a really big difference for us.
Got it. So it's, so far the two main points is make it a thing and make it a thing times two, right? It's just consistently talk about it, bring exposure to it. That's awesome. Another interesting thing you said is you migrated from a PayPal button to a more branded giving form, which is Fundraise. And so talk to me about how that experience has been for your donors. It sounds like it's helped grow the program. Would love to hear why you think that is and how it's been impactful for you and the team.
Well, what I loved about switching from PayPal only to being able, because our first, now we're with Fundraise, which is awesome. But before then, we had a very simple, like, customized online donation form. And what I loved was just simply being able to set them out at different levels. That was awesome. And give donors more of a choice. Like, when you only have PayPal as your option, like, PayPal isn't going to speak to everyone. And I would say that was one of the first, like, really big initial boosts that we saw, is adding card. Just simply, like, card or PayPal made a huge difference for us as well. And just being able to customize some of the text on your donation form as well. As you know, like, you can only customize so much in PayPal. But when you're working with a donation form where you can change the, so it doesn't feel like they're going to a totally different website to become a monthly supporter to your organization, but yeah, they're with you the whole time, I think that makes a huge difference.
Totally. It's the being able to contextualize the giving experience for the donor, creating that brand trust, right? They trust you, not some third party tech vendor. And so the more that experience can be a part of your brand, you know, you're going to see better results. And so that's great. And, you know, that's also something that we see at Fundraise. You know, it's like, no donor is the same. Everyone has their preferred giving method. And so being able to expand that, all the different options in which you can give, right? So, like, PayPal is obviously a big one. We've introduced in the last year Apple Pay, more sort of a cryptocurrency. I don't know if you guys are using crypto today, but some interesting ways to continue to give. So expanding the options for donors is definitely an important strategy, and it's awesome to see that as you guys have done that, your donor base has begun to grow.
Yeah, we just actually enabled our Apple Pay, and it's really cool to see people start to use that as their choice.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I would love to follow that and see how the conversion rate is and the what the lifetime value of Apple Pay donors is versus credit card donors, because it would be interesting if there is any difference there. It sounds like, based on what I'm hearing so far, it's really like your membership is really like the cornerstone sort of revenue channel for the organization. I mean, I know you guys do a lot of different things, and I've talked with you in the past, I think, as well, about event fundraising and auctions that you guys are doing. But where do you foresee, or where's like the next sort of iteration of your membership program? Like, are you guys talking about ways for continual growth or new things that you want to experiment and try out as we kind of enter this really digital only fundraising environment as of today?
Well, I was giving a big head nod earlier, because having our membership program built out before COVID-19 was just huge. the last thing we want to do is stop all of our programming. Like, dogs are not these things to come into the shelter. So we wouldn't have been able to increase our intake like we were talking about earlier. We would have had to stop completely if it wasn't for that really reliable support that we already had in our pocket. So right now we're focusing on that again, because of course we want to grow even more before the next crisis happens. So we're asking ourselves, well, we've really added some exciting technology and different engagement opportunities for our members. So how do we make those, how do we take those to the next level? So working on that, especially in an age of like not being able to be face to face with our donors as much, we're thinking of digital engagement opportunities and thinking about one thing that we started doing just less than 2 years ago was an actual upgrade campaign for our monthly donors. So every year we have a membership drive. That's another part of making it a thing, is that every January on our birthday, January 8th, for the whole week, we recruit new members, and it's all we talk about across all of our social media channels. But we also added an upgrade element to that. So continuing to just let our supporters know that if they're in a position to, it's very easy to increase their support, and maybe you could name a rescue dog if you do.
Yeah. And is that also for expansion? So if you expand, you get more access to different things, or what's driving people to expand their monthly gift? Is it more of just communicating the impact, or are they getting something for the expansion?
I hear that a lot of our donors just hadn't thought or didn't know that it was very easy to upgrade their support. So just making sure that you're even like planting the seed in their head that that's an option, I think, is really important. And just like talking about it and sharing stories of your other monthly donors or your recurring donors who have decided to upgrade. I think that's a really valuable tool.
Yeah, that's good advice. And when I was fundraising, we would run every December, we would run upgrade campaigns, and it would be basically a call campaign. We would call, you know, hundreds of donors, thanking them for their support, talking about, you know, what we had accomplished in that year and what we want to accomplish in the next year. And, you know, and we would share, in order to do that, like, the organization has to grow by 10, 20, 30%. Like, can we count on you to upgrade by 30%? Right. And that we saw a lot of traction with that sort of outreaches as well. But when you're starting to get into the, you know, the thousands, that becomes a little bit more challenging to call every single donor. So what do you guys do to keep your donors engaged and cultivated and, ensuring that they feel part of the community? What are some of your guys' strategies around that?
I think that's really important, because we see that our members are our most engaged members of the community. They're the ones who are engaging with us on social media. They have, like, the open rate for our membership emails is usually like 15 to 20% higher than our general communications. So we know that they're there, they want to hear from us. So they do hear from us. We talk to them more, we send them more communications throughout the year, special announcements than we would just for our general supporters who aren't committed monthly just yet. And on top of that, just for example, when our shelter in place started here in Chicago, we had our associate board, which is our young professionals board. They started contacting every single monthly donor to thank them for their support, just to check in and let them know, like, if it wasn't for you, this time would look so different from us right now. And we just want to take the chance to say thank you. So we're constantly looking for ways that we can just say hey to our monthly members and make sure that they know that we notice their support. Because I think as we're sharing, we no longer have 100 members. Now we have 1,600 members. We've thought a lot about how do we make sure that every one of those members knows that they're just as important as the member who signed up next to them, and that we notice their support coming through our checking account every month.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And have you seen any sort of, like, as it relates kind of like the health and economic sort of situation that we're going through today, has it caused you and the team to kind of rethink some of the engagement strategy? I mean, I'm thinking specifically like coming to the shelter and petting dogs. Like, are there certain things that you have to think about for the rest of the year? We can't offer, you know, X, Y, and Z. So we have to do some new things. Is there, have you guys thought about that or strategized, and what have you done, if anything, differently as a result?
Yeah. Well, the open house at our at our shelter is always a big one for the members, especially members who are new to the organization. Like, our volunteers are there all the time, but if someone's never visited, they really look forward to that event, and it's an awesome opportunity for us to get to know who our monthly members are and for them to get to know us. So we're thinking about how can we do that digitally this year? How can we get the impact in front of them if not in person? So it is something we're thinking about. We haven't figured out the perfect solution just yet, but in the meantime, we're spending that time just actually talking to them and reaching out one-on-one.
That's awesome. I saw something. Well, actually, our VP of sales, he hosted a happy hour for the sales team, and it was it was with a sanctuary. It was like a virtual like tour of the sanctuary. And so we saw like all these different, you know, animals, and like the owner of the sanctuary was like introducing, it was really clever. They had said something like they're getting so many requests, they can't even fulfill this sort of, you know, virtual tours because there's just way too many. So maybe that could be a way to engage with some of your recurring donors, is some sort of virtual dog petting exercise on Zoom or something.
Yeah, virtual dog petting. I'm all for it. And cats too.
Okay, I want to get a little bit nerdy for a few minutes, and we're going to look like on kind of like behind the scenes of managing a membership program. You know, obviously with 1600 individuals, that's a lot of that's a lot of volume, right? And in order to keep 1600 people sort of feeling engaged and feeling just as important as the last person that came in behind them, what are the things, or what are the tools that you use to help maybe automate some of that, or to stay in the loop on how kind of the health of your donor sort of segmentate, or the health of your recurring donors is?
I could talk about this all day. So this was actually as I'm not a one woman development shop. I'm our one woman development staff shop, but we have so many awesome board and volunteer members who couldn't do any of this without. But as far as the day-to-day operations, it's me. So this was a huge piece for us when we just were actually looking for our CRM platform. And obviously we went with Fundraise. And because we not only like have our monthly giving program, but we have various levels of support that people can sign up for a monthly giving program. And we want to make sure that it's really easy to track who's received their opportunity to name a rescue dog, or who's our executive director reached out to take along to the shelter for a rescue mission. Who have we sent that year's swag to? So automating tasks actually for our members when they sign up for a different level of support has been huge. And then I can coordinate with our volunteers on like making sure those get fulfilled. And another thing is the intelligence of Fundraise, the intelligence reporting tool. So I'm able to look every week at who's had a failed donation so that we can be proactive and reach out to them right away to see if they need any help updating that donation information. And we get a lot of responses.
Oh, nice.
People who like, oh yeah, I'm actually about to update that right now. Thanks for the reminder. And there's no way to know, of course, how soon would they have upgraded their donation information? But what we do see is that when we take the time to just reach out to them personally, that they're upgrading it pretty soon after, or updating their information pretty soon after.
No, that's great. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was managing our recurring donor program, you know, prior to Fundraise, we didn't have that information of when a donation failed. It was 30 days after the fact, right? Which is like the fire's out. Like this person probably has lost, you know, interest at that point. And so one of the first things we decided to build at Fundraise was that like real time notification, not just for like the admin, you know, in this case you, but also the donor. So they're getting that email right away if their card fails for whatever reason. Actually, I'm a donor for an organization. My card just failed for some reason, and I got that notification right away. I was like, oh shoot, I got to update it. So that makes a big difference. But also the, you know, as you continue to scale, what's going to be important is the increased efficiency that you're getting with technology. So, you know, think about the last time you had to update your credit card on Netflix or Amazon. You never have to, because behind the scenes, they're talking to the banks, getting those updates in real time. And that's something, you know, we've implemented at Fundraise as well with subscriptions, is if someone gets a new credit card, we'll know about that, and therefore that donor won't lapse. So hopefully that will be play a small part in your guys' amazing membership growth over the next several years.
Yeah, so totally does. That's happened a couple of times, and we've explained to our donors it's just auto magic.
Auto magic. I love that.
Magically. Don't worry about it.
Auto magic. You're giving us so much good content. I love it.
I can't explain the technology behind it, but it's great.
So what are some of the big goals over the next 2 years, membership wise? Or actually, let me take one step back before I ask that question. It's when you're going into a given year, how do you plan for growth with your membership program? Like, what are the things that you look at, and what are the goals that you set around growth for membership?
Oh, well, it's really interesting because we're well aware that at some point our growth and our membership numbers should not exponentially grow.
Yeah.
We hope that they continue to. So that's how we continue to plan ahead, is what can we do to see that kind of growth again this year? And when we start seeing that that's not the pattern, we'll reevaluate to just how do we sustain and possibly grow a little slower. But right now we're still thinking big. How do we make the next membership drive even bigger? How do we reach more people? How do we utilize the 1,700 new willing fosters that we've recruited through this crisis to also continue supporting us each month? So we're still thinking all the time about bigger and better.
Over the last several years, you've grown like a rocket ship. And it's like, it's going to be very hard to go from 1,600 to 4,000 and, you know, and continuing double year over year. But keeping that like at the forefront of like, what is driving the growth? Why do people engage? What do they care about? Are things that really help kind of align that. And so, it's exciting. I'm excited to see where you guys are in the next 12 months on the membership drives. Are you guys doing any sort of paid advertisements around it, or is it all organic, sort of just community mobilization that's driving the acquisition?
It's really organic. It really wasn't until this year that I figured out what the heck I was doing with Facebook advertising. so we're utilizing Facebook advertising and the Google Ad Grants now as well. But in the past, it's always been very organic.
Well, there you go. There's some more opportunity for growth and just
more opportunity.
Into that.
Yeah.
Well, Kara, those are lots of the questions I wanted to answer. That was very informative. Thank you so much for making yourself available. I know how busy everyone is right now, especially in the nonprofit sector. And so I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to chat with us and to be a resource for all the nonprofits out there that are looking to build their recurring donor program.
No problem. I'm so glad you had me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good rest of the week.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Nonstop Nonprofit. This podcast is brought to you by your friends at Fundraise, nonprofit fundraising software built by nonprofit people. If you'd like to continue the conversation, find me on LinkedIn or text me at 562-242-8160. And don't forget to get your next episode the second it hits the internets. Go to nonstopnonprofitpodcast.com and sign up for email notifications today. See you next time.